Welcome back, guys, to the Games from the Black podcast. I'm George Agoragis, and tell me, did you see the news? Niftimoji exits come with $1 million. Insane! Exits come, guys. Be careful where you spend your money. And tell me, have you seen the digital euro? Apparently, Europe is working to create a blockchain-based currency that will accompany fiat money. A bit of ironic because most European countries don't even have regulations for cryptocurrencies. But it's not a problem, right? If Europe has a crypto, it's gonna be regulated. This is another long-form podcast, so I won't procrastinate. Let's get straight to the most playable blockchain games for the past week. Upland, for the first time, dethroned Splinterlands. Upland is the number one playable game right now with 8,000 players, followed right after by Splinterlands with 7,000 players. The top 5 has Galaxy Blocks, Math War, and Color Craze with around 3,000 users. All these mini games are from Thundercore platform. And without further ado, let's get to the show. Jason Cassidy, CEO of Game Credits, is with us today and talks in depth.
Hey George, thank you very much for the opportunity. It's always a pleasure.
Tell us a bit about yourself first before we go to Game Credits.
Yeah, so I'd love to give a little bit of background about Game Credits. So my name is Jason Cassidy and I'm the owner and CEO at Game Credits. We are the first blockchain gaming network and cryptocurrency in history. And that takes us all the way back to February of 2014, when we launched our proof of work network. And we've been running ever since. So our focus is on esports industry and non-fungible tokens. And our goal is to provide tools and services that bridge the blockchain gaming world with the traditional esports world. And a big part of that, of course, is non-fungible tokens. So that is a big focus on our platform services. We just recently, back in July of this year, moved from our proof of work network to Ethereum. The reason why we did that, is that for the NFT industry and for also blockchain gaming, which are very harmonious at this point in time, the most innovation in the industry by far lies on the Ethereum mainnet and the sidechains. And if you look at the ERC 721 standard and 1155 that Engine popularized, those are really driving a lot of the business right now in the NFT space, and gaming gets a big chunk of that. So this is why we've plugged into Ethereum. We feel it gives us the best bang for our buck in terms of partnerships, technology stack, and we also think that they're going to have solutions to scale in the future. So that's why we moved there. We think it was a no-brainer.
So basically, Game Credit is on Ethereum, right?
So yeah, we moved our currency, which is ticker called GAME, G-A-M-E. We moved that over and created an ERC-20 token. So GAME is now an ERC-20 token. We are on mainnet Ethereum. However, we do utilize the Matic and also the Scale sidechains. With the gaming industry, with microtransactions, for a lot of these blockchain games to take advantage of the technology, you need to be able to do volume and it has to be economical. So for us, whether that's on the mainnet of Ethereum or the sidechains, we're going to just go where that gives the industry the ability to grow and for consumers and blockchain game developers to produce games and have their economies work. So that's why we've got both a mainnet and a sidechain presence.
What benefits do you offer to developers in order to build?
So that's a great question. One of the big focuses for us is education and lowering the barrier of entry for not just investors and consumers, but also content creators and developers. And blockchain isn't always something that's easy to wrap your head around. So what we've done is we've got a platform of services, and we'll talk a bit about the services a little bit more in the podcast here. But how we built the services is just as important as what the services are. And the key for us is that we use RESTful API calls so that if you're a developer that wants to start using blockchain-based services for your game, you can integrate our APIs and access our services. We have an NFT exchange. We have an NFT creator tool at our NFT foundry. We have an esports tournament organizer that's all blockchain-based. You can get access to all of these tools and services without having any blockchain knowledge. You just need to plug in a couple APIs. It's very straightforward. However, if you do have some background in blockchain and you want to go ahead and take that experience to the next level, we will be releasing an SDK, a software development kit, probably early Q1 of next year, which will allow blockchain developers to jump right in and start making use of the services to the full extent very easily.
What kind of SDK is this? Is this for Unity, for Unreal? How developers are going to use this?
There's going to be a Unity aspect as well. We are trying to make the SDK very extensible so that if you're going to be accessing Unity, you can make use of it pretty straightforward. And as well, as I mentioned, those API calls, if you're not going to be accessing the SDK, which again, we have that coming out next year, because right now our focus is on getting these services out. And because you don't have to have blockchain knowledge to use those services and integrate them into your games, that's why we're rolling those things out first. And for developers that want to go a little bit deeper, we'll have that SDK coming out, like I said, probably the first 3-4 months of next year. And there'll be that Unity component, because for us, obviously, gaming is very big and Unity is a part of that. And that we think that's going to be a big part of the future.
When you say esports, what do you mean? Do you mean competitive gaming? Do you mean tournaments? What's your main focus around esports?
There's an interesting story actually here with the background of Game Credits. And I won't go into the full detail, but to really answer that question, George, accurately, we want to go back a little bit in history. NovaToken was a Ethereum project that was launched back in the ICO boom on Ethereum in 2017. We came from that company, actually. So what happened was I came over and joined the NovaToken platform with Paul Barkley, who is now the CTO of Game Credits. So we essentially did a merger and acquisition. The NovaToken platform has built these services that we'll be talking about that have an esports feel. However, it was focused more on the TCG space, which is trading card games, of course. So NovaToken platform did an ICO in, the late 2017, early 2018 boom. And I came into the company a year later. And what had happened, George, when I came into the company a year after it had done its ICO, NovaToken, that is, they had spent a lot of time and money on development, but they hadn't done a very... I'll put a lot of money into marketing, into partnerships, into building up cryptocurrency exchanges for on-ramps and off-ramps. So their ERC-20 token, which was called NVT, it did not have a whole lot of value or volume. So there was a lot of work that had to be done. But the one thing that the company did a great job on, George, was building up a technology stack. So when I came into the company, they were actually looking to shut down. And I mentioned to these guys, I think there's a way that we can salvage the project, because unlike most ICOs that spend a lot of money hyping a project and have vaporware behind the scenes, you guys did the opposite of that. You spent a lot of your money and your time building up a really great technology stack, but there probably hasn't been enough time put on the marketing, the business dev aspect, building up the team and the currency. So I put together a plan to carry the company forward. And Paul Barkley, who was the owner at NovaToken at the time, he agreed to go along with that plan. And part of that plan, George, was that I wanted Paul to stay on board as the CTO because he was the brains behind building the NovaToken platform. So long story short, I revived the company with the help of Paul and some other people on the team. And then late in 2019, before the coronavirus situation happened, I was introduced to some people at the Game Credits team, and they were looking to transition out because they had run out of funds. They didn't have a whole lot of formal background in the gaming industry or in the blockchain space. And there was only a couple people left on the team. There's no partnerships in place. So essentially, we purchased the IP there at Game Credits, and we did one of the first true cryptocurrency merger and acquisitions where we merged both Game Credits and NovaToken. So what you see today, what you see now is all of the tools and services that Game Credits has, those were actually built by the NovaToken platform. So the brand name we kept was Game Credits because that's an iconic brand since 2014. It has a good reputation. It's focused on the areas that we care about. And we merged some of the team. We took some of the partnerships from Game Credits and moved that over. So now what you see with Game Credits is two companies that were merged into one to make a very harmonious merger. And it's been a really good success. Obviously, it's a couple months now since we did the transition over to Ethereum. And this kind of now ties back into your question about, well, what about esports? Because Game Credits has always had a focus on esports. And when we inherited Game Credits early this year, George, we inherited that focus on esports as well. So part of what we're going to be doing here at Game Credits, and you mentioned, well, like, what does that mean? What does esports mean to you guys? Is that competitive gaming? Is that working with esports professionals? Are you going to form your own esports team? The tools that we have are esports tournament organizer. That's certainly something that we want to have competitive games make use of. And there's an esports component to that. Also, we'll talk about the rewards portal later in the call, but on our rewards portal, we're going to be working with the esports industry. And I can't get into too much detail on what that is just yet, but I can let you know that we're working with esports professionals. We're talking with esports teams to introduce NFTs to the esports industry, because that's going to be a big piece of gaming. And obviously, that means it's going to have an intersection with esports. So we're looking to embrace Game Credits' DNA of being an esports blockchain company. And you're going to see some of that coming out later this year in Q4, George, but you're really going to see a lot of our plans to embrace the esports industry and also educate esports professionals and fans on what blockchain is, what NFTs are, and what in-game item ownership is going into 2021. And so that will slowly but surely cultivate a reputation for us as being that middleman or that bridge that takes the esports industry and plugs it into the blockchain gaming world.
Esports is a huge industry. What you guys did was take the technology that NovaToken built, right? And you integrated inside your own brand, Game Credits.
You
said that NovaToken did an ICO back in 2017. My guess is that NovaToken did great back then. I don't have any stats in front of me, but during the ICO frenzy in 2017, most tokens earned a lot of money. And I do well understand that when it goes to building something, you need a lot of funds. You need developers. Developers are expensive today. You need a lot of money to build something. So you guys basically took the technology behind NovaToken and integrated in your services, and now Game Credits is NovaToken and Game Credits under one umbrella, right?
That's a perfect example. Yep, we took the good parts of NovaToken, which was the platform and the technology stock, and then we merged that with the good parts that were at Game Credits. And Game Credits has been listed on top currency exchanges like Bitrex and BitBay for a long time. And on a good day, Game can do well over $1 to $2 million of real volume. And that's something I really want to point out to the listeners. In cryptocurrency, one of the most false metrics is market cap because of the all of the manipulation, but also the volume is quite often manipulated. And at Game Credits, because
that's true.
We've been on exchanges for 4, 5, 6 years now, that's given us time to build up the liquidity so that it's actual, real, honest market making. It's not contrived. It's not false. So while we would love to be at $5 or $10 million a day and we're working towards that, we are happy that we do have real volume there. And that was something that Game had to offer. So that's why we kept the Game ticker and we kept the Game token. We got rid of the Nova token under Nova, the platform itself, the ERC-20 token, because it didn't make sense to keep it. So we basically kept the Game Credits brand. And we brought the NovaToken platform, its partnerships. We took the team from NovaToken and we brought it over to Game Credits. And now it's all under one umbrella. And we've been working really well. We've got a team count of about 30 people between the old Game Credits team and the new group. And like I said, we're starting to slowly but surely embrace our esports roots. And I think that's going to show a lot of promise for us come next year.
Are those 30 people full-time working for Game Credits?
20 of the 30 people are full-time, and those other 10 people, they may put in 10 hours a week, they may put in 50 hours a week. We have a lot of flexibility there as we're building up the team, being remote. And the one thing that this allows us to do is it's low cost, obviously, because we're not paying for a central location. And we're also very flexible and lightweight. We can adapt to changes in the industry very quickly because we don't have some of those intangibles in play.
When I hear about Nova Token, in my mind comes Nova Blitz. You guys still developing this game?
I'm glad that you asked this question. I wish we got more questions like this, but you know what? I think we're going to be getting more questions like this, so I'm happy to give you some background on this. So for those that are listening, we developed Nova Blitz, which is a trading card game, and it's a game, obviously, that's digital, so it's not a physical trading card game like Magic the Gathering. So think of Gods Unchained as an example of a blockchain-based trading card game. We built Nova Blitz several years ago, and it's worth mentioning some of the history here because it will give the listeners an idea of the craftsmanship and the strategy and the game theory and the mechanics that we put into the game. When I mentioned Nova Token, Paul Barkley was the CEO there, and Paul has a very interesting past, and Paul and I actually share a lot of things from our past, which is probably why we get on well as founders and owners. So when I met Paul, one of the things that I was instantly attracted to was some of the background that he had, because he came from Wizards of the Coast, and Wizards of the Coast is a company that's a subsidiary of Hasbro, the board game company. And many of us have played board games that have been produced by Hasbro. But what's really interesting here, George, is that Wizards of the Coast is known for creating Magic the Gathering, which I think today probably has over 100 million fans. So it's an iconic game. And Paul was able to work there with Richard Garfield, who was the creator of Magic the Gathering all the way back in, I think, 1993. Richard created that game. Paul was able to work on Magic the Gathering for many years at Wizards of the Coast, and he worked with Richard. So he got a lot of the inspiration for Nova Blitz, because Paul Barkley was the creator of Nova Blitz. That was a lot of his genius behind that. He learned about game theory and mechanics from working on Magic the Gathering, the most successful trading card game in history. So that was a great place for him to cut his teeth. But he also got to work with Richard. And of course, Richard is seen as like the Michael Jordan or the Wayne Gretzky, or I guess these days the LeBron James of trading card games. And there's been a explosion in the CCG or the TCG industry since Richard kind of put it up on the big screen over 25 years ago. So when you look at Nova Blitz, what you're going to see is it's a game that's built for mobile. It works just great on desktop, but it's built for mobile. And it's very quick gameplay. It's fast-paced, it's real-time, and there's some really interesting mechanics that were put in there, because this is not a game that was put together over a couple months to try and make a lot of money on an ICO. This was a game that was put together over several years, and there's a lot of really good background and experience in there. And when you're listening to me, you might think, well, you know what? Jason is the CEO of the company. Of course Jason's going to say that his game that they have is good. And you know what? You guys are right to an extent. If you're saying that, I'm going to give you credit. There is some truth. I probably have a little bit of bias, but I also want to educate the listeners that I mentioned that Paul and I have a similar similarities in our background. I, in a previous lifetime, played Magic the Gathering when I was younger, and I was very fortunate, blessed to have a lot of success. And I almost went professional, and I was able to buy my first house, buy my first car, and take a couple years off to focus on some of my interests from the success that I had earning money playing Magic the Gathering semi-competitively. So I was able to...
You bought a house by playing.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I was very blessed.
You weren't allowed to trade this.
Exactly. So this is not a story I tell very often, but I think I was like George, I was like 20, 21 years old, and I won some big tournaments, and I had a very high DCI ranking. And with Magic the Gathering, they have something called the Pro Tour, which is basically like esports for trading card games before there was really esports. So that is how I learned about game mechanics and game theory and strategy. So when I met Paul, we had something that we could bond over, because he had worked on Magic the Gathering, and I was one of the consumers that took it to the next level and actually played it semi-professionally and made it a living off of it. So we had a lot of things in common, And when I saw Nova Blitz, I instantly saw some of the mechanics that were in Magic the Gathering. Now, they're not the same, of course. They play very differently. But what I'm trying to convey is that the game has a lot of thought and strategy put into it. So even though it's very fast play in real time, there is a deep mechanic set. So there is so many different combinations, so many different strategies that you can play going into the game. And we're excited about this because we're now going to be putting this game on the blockchain. So by the end of the year, we will be taking the current universe of cards in Nova Blitz. We're going to be putting that on the blockchain. We're going to be on the App Store and Google Play. And we're going to be putting a lot of resources behind this to start building up a tournament structure. So we have a number of people, game designers, artists that have been brought in to take the game forward. We've even got a new set. We're not going to be releasing that set till next year, but it is already built and tested. So there's going to be a lot of really cool things. And we're also going to be integrating the game currency, George, into Nova Blitz. So there's going to be a lot more use cases coming out going into the year 2021 for game as a token, because it will be a big part of the ecosystem as we monetize Nova Blitz in different ways. And again, some of this stuff we don't want to talk about just yet. There's going to be some really cool surprises. We're going to be bringing some people as well behind the game that I think are going to get the attention of the industry. And again, we are able to leverage people like Richard Garfield, who's on our advisory board. So if you go to gamecredits.org and look at our team, you're going to see Richard Garfield as one of our advisors. And you're also going to see Skaff Elias. So if you go to the website and you're looking, you say, oh, Jason's right, here's Richard Garfield. Well, look who's beside Richard. You're going to see Skaff Elias. And Skaff Elias and Richard are a 1-2 punch. They're very good friends. They work together at Three Donkeys, which is a consultancy for the gaming industry. And Skaff's background is he is the inventor of the Pro Tour. And if you know anything about Magic the Gathering, you know that the Pro Tour is the top professional tournament league that Magic created. And that's how a lot of people have made millions and millions of dollars playing Magic the Gathering, doing way better than I ever did back in the early 2000s. And it's kind of like esports before esports was born, because Magic the Gathering tournaments were actually being televised on ESPN.
Do you worry about the regulations?
I think that any owner in a blockchain company should at least have a little bit of worry about regulations, because frankly, it's a very real thing. And every year that the blockchain world continues moving forward, there's more education that these regulators are getting. They're understanding what cryptocurrency and blockchain is. The one thing that I believe you're going to see a little bit of lead time is that the regulators understand fungible currencies now, after having 10 years to wrap their mind around what Bitcoin is and what these other altcoins are. Non-fungible tokens are going to take a little bit more time, I think, for the regulatory bodies around the world that are established for cryptocurrencies to fully embrace and then start to make laws around. So I would say that we are cautiously optimistic, because we do retain legal counsel in every jurisdiction that we're making a lot of inroads into. So that's something that I take very personally, because when I started my career out in blockchain, I spent a lot of time working with different nations, with their regulatory bodies. For an example, I was on the first FinTech Advisory Council for the Ontario Securities Commission. And Ontario is a province in Canada, just like Texas is a state in America. So Ontario is probably the most prosperous province for commerce in Canada. So that was a really good place to be on the advisory board, because a lot of the regulations that Ontario produced for cryptocurrency, the rest of the province eventually embraced. And that was a really good eye-opener for me. It showed me how much time and how much education the regulators need so they can fully make laws that make sense, because you don't want regulators coming in and just slapping down a rule that doesn't make sense for the technology or how the consumer industry is adapting to it. So I think you're going to see regulations coming for NFTs in the gaming industry. I think you're going to be a year or two away from it, but we are always looking to what that future is going to be like. And we do talk with legal counsel to make sure we understand what that landscape is going to be, so we don't get caught off guard by it.
Let's hope that everything will play out nicely.
I mean, at least in my country, we have a huge problem with not non-fungible tokens. We have problem with cryptocurrencies. I mean, the regulation body, for example, here in Greece, the accountants, they are people that are over 60 years old. Okay, so they don't understand what Bitcoin is. I'm telling you about the simplest form. They can understand what Bitcoin is and how does this work. And there are huge concerns, at least in my country, about regulations because they don't know shit and they can't regulate it. And we have a tradition here in over-regulating money. So yeah, there are many concerns on how things are going to turn out here. So let's move on. I would like to ask you about the scale sidechain. What are the benefits of this sidechain? Is this fully developed, first of all?
So we are making use of the Matic sidechain, and we're also probably going to be making use of the Scale sidechain. And these are both companies that provide sidechain services to the Ethereum mainnet. And the rationale behind why are we working with these companies to adopt their sidechain technologies is because right now, if you're on Ethereum, you probably have realized that the gas price is very high and transaction times may not be as fast as they could be in the past. And this is a reflection, of course, of scalability issues. Ethereum has this love-hate relationship where people, if you want to start using all of these dApps on Ethereum right now, and there's so much stuff to use, that's the love part of Ethereum, is there's a lot to love about it. But the hate part is that because they've had so much success, they are seeing transaction throughput that is really clogging up the network. And of course, that's driving up the price. So there are some dApps, and George, you know this probably better than anyone because you spend a lot of time on Ethereum in the gaming space. There's a lot of dApps that they can't function economically because you're not going to pay $7 or $8 for a simple transaction. This doesn't make any sense.
The truth is that basically all Ethereum games right now are not playable. And not only they are not playable, about 95% of the games have lost their entire value. The NFTs can't be sold. You can't sell an NFT for $1 when you have to pay $8 for the transaction fees. Why do you use two sidechains? Can't you use Matic or just Gate?
So this is a really good question. We initially were talking with Scale as a sidechain partner, and Scale had some delays in getting their testnet up. And because of all the different platform services that we have, we wanted to mitigate any risk while they worked out some of the kinks. And we completely support them in taking the time to do this. They just finished their crowd sale. They did wonderful, and I think they deserve that. And I'm happy that they did take the time. They've been very transparent with us about some of the delays. And that gave us an opportunity to say, okay, so in the meantime, while Scale fully gets ramped up, what are we going to look at? And we've always had a good relationship with Matic. We have an open door relationship talking with them. We know that they're a big gaming sidechain solution. So right now, for us to be very flexible, we've got a working relationship with both of those groups. Depending on the services that we release and some of our other projects that we have coming out next year, we may maintain a relationship on both. It may make sense, or we may pivot to one fully. But the big thing for us is that we have a sidechain solution, whether that's Matic or Scale or both, because the issues that you just commented on, George, on the mainnet, we also want to see 2.0, which used to be called Casper, this sharding proof of stake implementation. We want it to work out as much as everyone else does. But if you're a business owner, you can't plan your business on hope and dreams. You have to prepare for the future and you have to have contingencies. So we believe that Ethereum will eventually figure out its scaling issues. But if that takes a little bit longer than expected, which frankly, let's be honest, 2.0 has already been delayed a long time. So I think it's fair to say that it could be continued to be delayed. Well, the gaming industry is just not going to stop evolving because of that. So there has to be some sort of middleman solution. And for us, we think it could be a really good selling feature that if you want to actually use Ethereum and have an economy and have a game that's functional, you can have all those things on the sidechain and it's going to be completely secure and transparent.
In the beginning, you said about the NFT reward. Would you like to expand?
I would, because this is something that I think is pretty unique to us. So I'll give a little bit of context. We're really excited about the rewards portal. It's really become a creature on its own. So again, a little bit of a history. We see on Ethereum, what's clogging the network? Well, a big reason why the network is being clogged is because of DeFi. Again, that's decentralized finance for anyone that's listening. And it is become a huge craze. George and I, we are constantly shaking our head at all the crazy stuff that we see happening on the network, but it's a real thing. And I don't think it's going to go away. I think it may blow up and there'll be some dust settling, but I don't think it's a fad that is going to disappear next year. I think there's always going to be a DeFi component. And at Nova Token, when we go back in time now, we're going to go back in time to 2018 again. While the ICO was conducted and afterwards, there was a gap between finishing the ICO and then actually having the platform rolled out. So the company, to give holders of the Nova Token something to do with their token, so they had some utility before the platform was released, there was this concept of having NFT rewards that you can stake on. So if you were to go to gamecredits.org and go to our rewards portal, what you're going to see is the updated version of a concept that we created several years ago on Nova Token, which was that you can take your Nova Token and stake that on a gaming partner, and then you can earn back both fungible tokens and NFTs as a reward. So we kind of created one of the first DeFi use cases, but without really realizing it. And back then,
you guys were the first in DeFi.
I don't know if we were the first in DeFi, but we were one of the early companies that was experimenting with it. But we didn't even understand that that's what it was DeFi. We just thought it was a very novel way of taking a fungible concept like staking and applying that to a non-fungible token ecosystem where you could earn NFT rewards instead of just getting fungible currency as a reward back.
I'm on the Game Credits website. I see the rewards and I see that over 1 million game credits are staked in the sandbox. 1,007,000 in Splinterlands.
Yes, I think that's about accurate. So what you're seeing is part of the gamification aspect. So what we've built here is a way that holders of game token can go to the rewards portal and then they can put their game token to use with some sort of utility. And you can go to the portal and what you're going to see there is all of our partners. And this is how we're a little bit different from other DeFi type of solutions or applications. We obviously, as a gaming company, we create tools and services for game partners to plug into. And so we encourage all of our partners in the industry or even non-crypto games that want to get into the blockchain space, anyone can join up and sign up for free on our rewards portal as a partner. And when you do that, you open yourself up to our NFT rewards ecosystem. And how this works is at Game Credits, we have allocated a number of game tokens to fund our rewards portal for the next 10 years. So we have millions of game tokens that we have set aside. It's part of our marketing budget. And every week in year one, we give out 100,000 game split 50-50 down the line. So there's 50,000 game tokens every week that are available for the stakers, people that take game credits and stake them on partners. And then the other 50,000 game tokens every week, George, is available for our game partners. So basically, if you're a game partner like the Sandbox or Splinterlands, you want as many people that have game token staking on your game as possible and supporting you, because the more game tokens that are staked on your game, the more of that 50,000 game pot you earn every week. And the opposite is true for game holders that are staking on Splinterlands or Sandbox, as an example. The more game that you have and the more game you stake on a partner, the more of that 50,000 game pot every week that you get to earn as a return. So there's a couple different benefits for a partner. If you're listening to this right now on the podcast and you're thinking, well, I have a blockchain game or I am a crypto company, why would I want to sign up on the portal? Number one, it's free. It's very easy to do. You can be signed up in a couple minutes. Number two, you get a lot of free exposure and marketing. I think right now we've got over 33, 34 million game tokens locked up, staking right now on the portal, making use of the system. So there's a lot of people that come every day and every week. They're already game fans. They're already crypto savvy. Now they're going to be introduced to your game intimately. And another benefit is that as a partner, you get a residual income stream. So it may not be much, but if you're earning a piece of that 50,000 game pot over time as the USD value of game increases, that may be $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 every week you're making for free for just being on the portal. So that is the benefit if you're going to be a partner for us. And again, the benefit for someone who holds game token is eventually you're going to be able to earn NFT rewards, because the ultimate goal is that the rewards portal is an NFT rewards delivery system. So if you go in the future and take your game credits and stake on the sandbox, you will earn something called loyalty points. And loyalty points is an internal redemption token. And the more loyalty points you earn, George, the more that you can redeem for NFT rewards. So eventually you will be able to go ahead and take some loyalty points that you've earned by staking your game tokens on, let's say, the sandbox. And they will be a roster of NFT rewards from the sandbox universe that you will be able to redeem those loyalty points for. And in exchange, you'll get some really cool NFT rewards from that game universe. And that could be in the form of an in-game item from the sandbox. That could be a collectible NFT for Splinterlands. It could be a tournament entry ticket in the form of an NFT. It could be a coupon in the form of an NFT. It could be just about anything that makes sense.
Yeah, I get it.
And
so it's a win-win situation for both.
I think so. I think it's it gives game holders a way to put their currency to use and earn both a fungible reward in more game and also to earn NFT rewards, which is the biggest thing. And for the partners, it costs you nothing. It's very easy to sign up. It takes minutes. It's straightforward. And we get to promote you. That's also a big thing. You can earn a residual income stream. You get a lot of free promotion, marketing, and advertising. And if you're thinking about this from the company's perspective and you're saying, okay, Jason, I understand the partners, they get some benefits. And now I understand if you're a game holder, why you guys will get benefits. But why is the company doing this? How does a company benefit from this if they're giving out money? And the answer is twofold. The first benefit for us is that, as you can see, with about 33 million game tokens that are locked up on the portal, those are now removed from the circulating supply, basically. So over time, George, as more and more game holders are aware, I can earn NFTs and make an income from this for next to nothing. And I can also engage and support some of my favorite crypto companies and games. More of those game tokens are going to be on the portal. And eventually we could see 50, 60, 70 million. And we think that next year there's going to be a large amount of game tokens locked up on the portal. So from a supply and demand token economics perspective, of course, the less supply that's available to be purchased, as long as you put some pressure on the demand side, the price should go up over time. And that's something that we want to cultivate very honestly and ethically. And we think that this is a real way to build utility. So that's a benefit for us. But also, we survive and we thrive because of our partners. We need game developers creating games that are engaging, that have communities, and we want to help support that. So from a game developer's perspective, this allows us to start building relationships up with these game companies with no pressure. They don't have to sign any contracts. They're not agreeing to anything other than just going in the portal. They can leave the portal whatever they want. But the key for us is, when you look at our NFT exchange that we have, when you look at our esports tournament organizer that we have, and when you look at our NFT creator tool that we have, we want game partners using these tools. And this is a great way to begin a relationship with these companies without any pressure. And over time, George, we feel that it makes it a lot easier to show them these other products and services that we have without any pressure, because they've already made a commitment to us and they already have a good feeling about us as a partner. They've got a good experience, so they're going to be more open to looking at adopting some of our other tools and services. And of course, this is how we make money. Every time those API calls are being made, there's a little bit of game token that's being used to pay for those API calls. So ultimately, we want as many partners using our esports tournament organizer right? Our Foundry and our NFT exchange, because that pays for the company and it drives the velocity of our game token.
I would like your opinion about the blockchain gaming in 5 years. Where do you see blockchain gaming in 5 years?
You saved the best one for the end, George. Sneaky.
I always do this question in the end, whether it's a podcast or an interview.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, it is a darn good question. 5 years from now, I expect to see NFTs having as much as a role in cryptocurrency as fungible currencies do. And I know that's a very big statement, but I think 5 more years from today, we're probably going to be at a place where there's a very close to equal number of individuals that are spending time and money with the fungible currencies as they are with NFTs. And the reason why I think this is because now we're in year 11 with fungible currencies, with Bitcoin being around from the beginning, of course. So most people in first and second world nations, and a lot of people even in third world nations now with technology becoming ubiquitous, they've heard about cryptocurrencies and they've heard about Bitcoin. So to an extent, if people were going to go ahead and jump into fungible currencies, they may have already done that. I think there's a big portion of humanity that knows about cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin, but they don't get excited about it. It doesn't have an emotional attachment to them. They may be very nervous about it, and for good reason in some instances, but non-fungible tokens are different. Non-fungible tokens are unique by their definition, and this could be anything from a piece of art to in-game items. It could be tokenizing your grandma's salt and pepper shaker that are mementos that have been passed down through the history, and you want to immortalize that and tokenize it on a blockchain. So what I've noticed, George, is that a lot of people that have hearing me talk about Bitcoin and Bitcoin since I got into the industry in 2012, yeah, they know about it, but they didn't really care about fungible currencies. But now that they've been exposed to NFTs, there's something in the NFT world that has an emotional connection to it. And oftentimes I find that's in the gaming space. And if we really expand the definition of what is a game or who is a gamer, it's about 1 in 3 people on the planet that play in games at some type. Well, that's a lot of people. We're talking billions of people that have a fondness for games. And games are part of our history. They show up in the earliest pieces of our existence. It's just something that's built into our DNA as a species. So I think that blockchain is going to really start to seep into the traditional gaming world. And I think NFTs are going to help that. So I don't think Fortnite is going to adopt NFTs next week. I don't think any of the big games out there, like League of Legends, Dota 2, etc., I don't think these games are going to just start to open up the floodgates to decentralization right away. However, player empowerment is very real. NFTs are truly creating the first real renaissance for player empowerment in the gaming industry. And I do not think that you can put that genie back in the bottle. So over time, consumer habits, the dollars they spend, how much they'll spend and when they'll spend them are going to force game developers to open up that walled garden that we've traditionally experienced with games where everything is closed economy. It will take some time, just like it took time for fungible currencies. 15, 20% of the games maybe out there start to have some form of decentralization or some form of in-game item ownership where the players can take more of a say in the game, because it's already proven that players want this and it's common sense why we want this. It gives us more sovereignty. It means that when we put money into a game, we have the confidence that we can pull that money back out of that game and then turn that into funds that allow us to invest in another game, where traditionally you put $1,000 into a game, that money may be stuck in that game forever. And then it's lost. And that is part of the old paradigm. And you and I know that the new paradigm is going to be more flexible. So 5 years from now, I expect that most people that are in the gaming world know about blockchain, because they have to if they want to take a piece of the future in that industry.
Within the next 5 years, we're going to see at least 1 or 2 mainstream titles using non-fungible tokens. But eventually, everyone will follow up, right? So, Jason, thank you for being with us today. Is there anything else you would like to say for our listeners?
There is one thing, George, and this is more focused with you. We're talking about where the industry is going to be in 5 years, and I want to take a moment to acknowledge how important it is what you're doing right now. There's a huge education gap. And we need people like yourself with this podcast, taking the time to speak with individuals like myself, but not just me. There's so many more people that are doing awesome things in the industry, and we don't get to hear about it. So the journalism that you're doing, the awareness that you're doing, you are an important part of this narrative as well. So if you and I believe what we just said about where the space is going to be in 5 years, it's not going to just be about individuals like myself that are building things. We need people like you that can actually educate and bring awareness to the industry, because that's a big portion. And we already learned that with Bitcoin. We learned that that's an important part of it. You can't divorce those two things. So I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about this, because your platform is what's actually going to help this grassroots movement take over the world in a good way. Thank you again for the opportunity, George.
That's all from us, guys. I hope you learned some interesting stuff from Jason, and see you again this week. Two podcasts are coming this week, and I'm very excited because someone recently told me, George, consistency is everything. And you know, I'm trying to be consistent in a million things. Thank you guys. Take care. See you in a few days.